Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
It's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. Pardon my voice this evening. It's a little hoarse as we've been having a lot of bad weather and my allergies just don't want to cooperate with me tonight. But, you know, tonight's show is going to be in-depth. There may be some aspects that you don't understand or agree with, and that's cool. You know, that's what life is meant to be. Life is meant for people to have an opinion and to be able to debate without hate, to understand and educate. And I saw something in a young man that fights in the sport that I love so much. And his beliefs and his thoughts, I thought I needed to share with the world, with the sport, and with myself, because you just don't see that type of articulation in a young man these days. With that being said, I want to bring on my homie, Mr. Jalen Turner. Jalen, how's it going, bruh?
Going pretty good, you know, beautiful sunny day in California.
Right? Dude, I miss those days. You know, I moved out to the Midwest about 23 years ago. And, you know, I moved out here because, let's face it, you know, this is a dark show, so we're just going to be real from the get. When I moved out here, my son was 9 years old. Kids were being shot for their jackets, for their shoes, for the color clothes they wore. And I didn't want that for my family. I didn't want that for my son. And I moved out to Springfield, Missouri, not knowing what type of environment I was moving in. So before you guys in the green room start corresponding hate and not understanding where I'm coming from and think I don't have a right to speak with Jalen on this topic, I was born in the projects. I lived in the hood. When I came to Springfield, Missouri, I knew what it was like to have money in my pocket. I knew what it was like to work. I was an engineer. I came here. I lived where I thought I could. But 23 years ago, I was called a nigger. I was yanked out of my car. I was beat up by the police. And I'm American Indian. So I understand the plight. I understand that there's good and there's bad in every aspect. Jalen, you made a statement that we got to look beyond being a basketball star. We got to look beyond being a baseball star, a football star, a fighter. We have to become part of the system and create change from within. What inspired you to post that thought, young man?
I look at the community, the black community especially, and I try to figure out, you know, what kind of people are we looking up to, you know, in the lowest form of society. And that's what we look up to. We look up to rappers. We look up to basketball stars, you know, athletes, because that's the biggest ticket for us to get out, to get out of the, you know, the same cycle of, you know, poverty, depression, and, you know, gang life, gang warfare. And I just really just sat and just thought about it, like, we need more politicians, we need more people in office, we need more people preaching a message just in the community alone, not just, you know, just being in the limelight. Because honestly, that's how the people that set up the system are getting rich. You know, it's CEOs, it's politicians, it's everybody helping everybody and knowing what to do and knowing their connections just from being inside of the community that they're in. You know, there's a bunch of white people that you can figure out that are rich, and you'll never know who they are. You never know their name. You can walk by one, any of them, any day, and think that they're just a normal person. But when you see a rich black person, they gotta be false, and they have to have something nice, or they have to be on television. You know, you seldom ever walk across just any minority and see that they're rich without, you know, already knowing who they are, somebody knowing who they are. And that's what really came to my attention. I just think we need to break that cycle first, and, you know, start helping out locally, and, you know, start easing our way into the system at a small scale, and then, you know, we can have better help and reach our communities and work on the problem too. Because I've been in a lot of debates on Facebook, and everybody starts talking about, well, black-on-black crime is the number one. I'm tired of hearing that. I was tired of debating about that. And, you know, I feel like it's a lack of education in the system. It's a lack of education in the community. And we just need more people to communicate in those ways and not just, oh, I want to see this basketball star. I want to be in this limelight. I want to be this big star. Because at the end of the day, you know, not everybody's going to have the opportunity to make that. You know, I know I have plenty of friends that went to, that got scholarships, full ride scholarships, and, you know, they're not in the NFL, they're not in the NBA. They got a good education going to college, but, you know, they're still doing something with their lives, but they're not in that limelight. They're still having a good living. And I just want that message to be relayed. And, you know, I just want everybody to start learning about local councilmen and learning about, like, the police force and just knowing right from wrong in general, and just get out of the way of, oh, I gotta do this to survive. I gotta sling crack to survive. I gotta sell dope to survive. Like, it doesn't have to be like that, you know. But it's hard because you're always exposed to that every day of your life. So that's what you end up falling victim to, and that's what people don't realize. When you're constantly exposed to it, you're usually gonna fall into that same realm.
Well, Jalen, I understand that, and you know, I grew up in that. And this is what I want people worldwide, because my show is global. So I want people to understand that there's going to be many variables on tonight's show. You know, Jalen, people don't understand that you can go to L.A., you can go to Long Beach, you can go to different parts of California, you can go to different parts of the East Coast too. And there's neighborhoods where not just black men, not just white men, or Mexicans or whatever, have never been off a 6x6 square block, because they can't, because they'll be killed. You know, you become a product of your environment. You only know what you've been taught. So you take an example of, let's say you live in Long Beach, and your parents were drug dealers and gangbangers, and that's the lifestyle they taught you. Well, that's how you grow up. You know, you learn by example. So if that's what you're taught, that's all you know. I decided to break that cycle. I decided when somebody told me I wasn't going to be something, I was going to prove them wrong. You know, I decided that I was going to show them, and I did. You know, I got a degree in mechanical engineering technology. I got my master's in engineering science. And I became the change I was seeking. But here we are this many years later, and the problems still exist. You know, we have to be the change that we seek. We have to create change. You know, Jalen, would you say that the battle that we've been fighting for the last 50 years isn't working? That we have to look at the ideology and the aspects that you made in your statement on Facebook and the statement you made on the show tonight, that we have to create that change. Because if you look at the last 50 years, we've had riot after riot after riot, you know, and we're still living in that aspect. So do you think that creating this change and speaking with others and educating them is the only hope that we have moving forward in the future?
You know, it's probably not the only hope, but I feel like it's a big hope. And another thing I've been explaining to people, too, is, you know, it may not take, you know, just our generation. It may take a couple more generations for a really impactful change to happen. Because, you know, I want to teach my kids better. I want to teach my kids the way my mom taught me, you know, and I hope that they teach their kids the same way. And, you know, even with the corruption, you know, all the stuff going on, you just got to hope that more people get positive insights on these things, you know, and hope that that change is generational. Because, yes, it's been 50 years, but, you know, I didn't live 50 years ago to see how bad it was to really get an understanding about it. But from the life I live now, I think it is a bit better, you know, not completely, but it is getting a little bit better. So that's been my hope, just, you know, it's not a big leap. It's going to have to take baby steps, and it's going to take a little bit of patience. But, you know, a lot of people are losing their patience. You know, a lot of people, I went to a protest, and I seen women and older men, they're men, and they're 70s protesting. You know, they're tired of it. And, you know, that just opens your eyes so much, and to see how much pain, how much it hurts for people to continue going through this. But, you know, like I said, sometimes we just have to weather the storm and get it going right. And, you know, it's going to be generational. That's really how I see it. That's how I'm looking at it.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, bro. You said you've seen 50, 60, 70-year-old men with pain in their eyes. It bothers you, right?
Yeah.
It hurts you. But they've been fighting the same battle with the same outcome. Young man, you're the future. You're the change that the young need to seek. You have the knowledge, the ability to see beyond color. You know, I asked you before the show, because I'm transparent and I'll let my listeners know, because I don't hold nothing back. You know, and I think it's a very important question, because I put a post out today and it said, did it matter what color your friends were when you were growing up, when you were playing in the park, when you were kicking it on the street? Does it matter what color your friends are in life now? And the answer to that is truly no. So when you look at it, as a young man in life, because I don't like to use the word color, but as a young man in life, do you think that we allow the politicians too much power and too much influence on the way we look at our own communities?
Yeah, I think we do. I think there's a big stigma going on. I can give you an example. Growing up, for me, you know, I always had friends of every race, you know, and sad to say, majority of the race that picked on me were Blacks, African Americans. And, you know, if all you're seeing on the news is, oh, Blacks killing Blacks, and, you know, that's this big issue, you know, it makes you kind of look at and frown upon your own people, you know. And for a while, I was like, man, like, why is it that, like, I was like I'm getting picked on by like my brothers, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of put me in a bad thought process for a while, and this I just started seeing just the negative out of people of my color. But then I realized, like, my closest friends were black, and my closest friends were all races, you know. So it was just like I stopped looking at it as a color thing and just a bad person thing. Like, it's just there's going to be people of your color, opposite color, any color, that are going to just be bad. And, you know, you don't know their life situation. So you got to just endure it and move on and get away from it if you can. But, yeah, it's a lot of media playing the game. And even with this whole protester, looter, violence going on, it's all being blown up by the media, you know, because I'm continuously arguing with people on Facebook about they think looting is wrong, and I understand that, but they keep calling protesters looters. They keep titling same things for different names, you know. A protester and a looter are two different things. But then they'll post a picture of somebody protesting with a Black Lives Matter sign and then looting. So, you know, it's like you just have to differentiate good from bad. You can't just put everybody under the same title. And I keep telling people we need to look at individual cases and look at individual actions, because just because of what happened to George Floyd by those cops doesn't mean that all cops are bad, you know? You just got to look at it as those cops were specifically bad. I have numerous close friends and training partners, and one of my jiu-jitsu professors, they all work in law enforcement. And they're some of the greatest people I've ever met. And, you know, it makes me proud that there's people like that on the force. So, you know, I don't really try to buy into the whole media segment of what's going on in the world. I like to, you know, be a little bit aware of it, you know, from the mainstream media platform. But I try to do my own research in my own cases and do everything, like, just based off individual action. And that's how I give my judgment.
Well, Jalen, let me ask you this, because I wanted to slap the shit out of the man when he said it, to be quite honest with you. But when Joe Biden said, if you vote for Donald Trump, then you obviously aren't black. You know, first and foremost, that man had no right to make that statement.
Not at all.
Secondly, he cannot judge anybody. And I think that's where our country has been systematically broken down. Because we allow these people to come on and say their thoughts, but we're not entitled to say ours. We're censored, we're cut down, and we're not allowed to create a voice for, you know, for us to be heard, but they're allowed to share theirs. And I think that's where I think the political aspect is unjust, because they play the people against each other. You know, another statement you made, and I think it's very well articulated, is that many of the people that you know are police officers, and they're very good people. Well, you know, most people don't know, like me and you, that just about everybody that's around that cage is some type of military or law enforcement, and they're tremendous people. They don't see you as a person of color. They see you as Jalen Turner. They see you as a young man that is stepping up and getting ready to fight, and they're gonna treat you like you know you're their own kid. You know, you look at Jacob Stitch Duran, all the cut men in the sport. They treat you like they're like your family, you know. And I want people to understand that the mentality of the politicians that think they speak for us, they don't. But yet we allow them to. You know, I always preach we have to be the change that we seek. I always preach that I'm colorblind. Because I am. I know what it's like to be belittled. I know what it's like to be hated. But I also know what it's like to overcome. Jalen, in your heart, what do you think it's going to take other than the politicians or statements on social media and, you know, education? What else do you think it's going to take for us to create that social barrier to where they take the color aspect off of a man's name? Instead of saying Jalen Turner, you know, he's a tremendous African-American fighter. No, Jalen Turner is a tremendous fighter. You know, John Jones, he ain't so good. But Daniel Cormier, he's great. You know, Vitor Belfort, he's not a Brazilian fighter. He's a fighter. I mean, we could be proud of our heritage. But do you think the labeling that we have allowed in our lives has truly added to this problem?
I think it has, but everybody's going to be prideful of, you know, their culture or where they come from. You know, I feel like it's always going to be a bit of an issue because, you know, when you do have people coming from different heritages and different races and they are proud, somebody else is going to be like, well, I'm more proud. You know, it's going to always be that back and forth. Oh, you're proud to be black. Oh, I'm proud to be white. Okay. I'm proud to be Native American. I'm proud to be, you know, and it's just going to keep a division going on. And I just feel like it's a part of the system to control us and to label us or to divide us too, you know, because they kind of imply that power too. As in, when you fill out a job application, when you fill out this, when you fill out that, you have to put your race. But yeah, most of the time you can put other. You know, heck, I've even been told sometimes, oh, don't put that you're black because you'll be more likely to get hired. Don't put that you're African American or black. I was like, what? Really? You know, but it's all that stuff is in play, and it's gonna be I feel like that's gonna be harder to get rid of than racism itself. I think that's all.
Yeah, it really
be,
is because. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're fine. Go for it.
No, it really has because from the day we're born, we're labeled on our birth certificate. From the day we're born, we are truly labeled. And I don't like that. I think it should be changed. You know, there's a lot of issues that are perplexing. There's a lot of things that are going on. You know, and yes, people took to the streets for Black Lives Matter, but Black Lives Matter don't speak for every individual. You know, Antifa played an ugly part in, you know, the riots and the looting. You know, when you sit back as a young man and you watch this unfold in front of your eyes, how saddened has it made you, Jalen?
I've been really honestly the whole situation itself didn't really hit home for me and bother me until I started seeing what people were saying on social media. That's what really like got to me. You know, I've seen people just saying some negative things or, you know, just siding with you know, they had opposite views of other than I did, but the way they went about saying it kind of frustrated me and infuriated me, you know. And at the end of the day, it ended up becoming even more of a division than bringing it together. You know, a lot of people are upset about Black Lives Matter and, you know, looking at it as this and that. And, you know, just until yesterday, I didn't even know you can donate to Black Lives Matter as an organization. And I looked at that as just as a slogan, as a, you know, insight for, you know, just awareness. I don't look at it as a whole organization because really what is it supposed to do? And that's what a lot of people have been saying. And even in the black community, I've been seeing some of my black friends say, oh, where's Black Lives Matter when we're killing each other every day? And, you know, it's like stuff like that that gets me down. Because, like, we're supposed to, you know, try to get out of that way, get out of that mindset and get better. But it's still a lot of negative tension going on. It's just hard, man. It's just hard to deal with. It's hard to deal with all that. It really hurts. So, you know, I've been trying to, like, just figure out ways to just do better for everybody. But, you know, it's been taking a toll on me. So I actually stepped back from social media. You know, I got out for a while. I didn't post on Instagram much. I just posted on my daughter's birthday. I stopped debating with people on Facebook because it was just draining my soul, you know, my energy just didn't feel right. And, I couldn't deal with it too much more, you know. I did my protest. I went out and protested. Felt good about that. I had a lot bearing on my heart before I did that, and I felt a big relief when I went and did that and, you know, put my voice in out with the people and, you know, just stood with the people in a positive manner. And, that put a big relief. But as far as everything else, it's been difficult. It's been difficult, but, you know, I'm in good spirits now, and I'm keeping a positive eye on all of the situations.
Yeah, I watched that live that you're talking about when you went out to the protest, and I seen, this is a hard topic, but I seen sadness in your eyes. You know, I seen a young man looking for answers. You know, a young man that was trying to understand the situation and take the meaning away from it, because you were one of the first to truly post, you know, how you really felt about this whole situation. And I commend you on that. You know, that truly meant a lot to me, because I even reached out to you and I even told you, man, I love you, brother, you know, and wise words. But, you know, there's always, as a journalist, I have to take both sides of the fence, you know. And, you know, to the listeners, we've already agreed, me and Jalen already agreed, that we're going to walk away the show just as close as brothers as we are now, as, you know, after the show. So there's not going to be any animosity between me and Jalen. But there was a statement that was put out and was even kind of shoved down my throat as a journalist. And I was told that no lives matter until black lives matter. How does Jalen Turner look at that statement?
I mean, I feel like I'm going to go into depth about that. I feel like that being said is just as a counter argument for people saying all lives matter. You know, if you really think about it, if you take it out of context and think about it, no lives matter until black lives matter, then that means no lives matter at all. But that's still wrong. It's a double negative, in my opinion. Honestly, that one gets to me. But, you know, it's just the reason why it's being said. It's the reason why it's being said. Why is somebody saying no lives matter until black lives matter? Think about it. It's not just about, oh, we don't care about anybody else's lives because, you know, black lives don't matter. No, it's not like that. It's why it's being said. Because a lot of people are out here bashing black lives matter. Oh, black lives don't matter, you know, so we have to try to get more power behind it. We have to get more power behind the saying, behind the slogan. Because a lot of people are insensitive to the topic. Like, black people have been really oppressed, and it's been hard for us for a long time. Like, you can just think about the history. Everybody's like, well, you didn't live there. You didn't live in that era. You know, let's get over it. And it's really not that easy. Like, you can go to, even in high school, we talked about slavery. We had the topic in high school. We studied it. You know, it's like, it's still being taught in our schools. We know the history. We know what it's about. And then when you have people calling you out of your name or calling you the N-word, you know, it still hurts. It's still like, do you mean that the way you say it? Like, do you understand the power that word has over some people? And I feel like that's why people are saying no lives matter until Black Lives Matter, because they want that extra power behind the movement, because people are already kind of arguing with all lives matter. So now they're saying no lives matter until Black Lives Matter. And next thing you know, all lives matter are going to say something else. It's going to just keep going. It's going to be a back and forth tension. It's just further division just because people don't agree. So I just think it's a whole – go ahead.
I'm going to be the elephant in the room, because I hear what you're saying and I understand what you're saying. But – and that might imply to a lot of people, but I'm Native American, okay? And, you know, I've lived my struggle. I've understand what it's been like to be beat by the police. You know, I've never been privileged. You know, and I'll be honest with you. For them to say, you know, to come at me and say no lives matter until Black Lives Matter, to me, I don't agree with that, bro. I don't agree, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I watched my mother work the migrant farm worker trail. I watched my mother work in the fields. I watched my mother raise six kids without a husband and pick up the meat that the butcher threw away. You know, my mother came from obscurity. My mother is a dark American Indian, and really, my mom's probably just as dark as you, bro. You know, so to say that, you know, no life matters until Black Lives Matter, I kind of take a distance from that, because I do think every life matters, but I think it's the context that it needs to be expressed. Because, and I think where the magnitude and the anger and the separate, you know, aspects are coming from is because there are people like me that aren't African American but have lived the same struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say, how can they feel that sense of entitlement, saying that my life don't matter unless their life matters, but our life is just as equal? I'm not the one out there saying all lives matter. You know, I'm not out there saying Native American lives matter and no other life matters. So it's a conundrum. I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, there have been many that have been oppressed in this country. There have been many that have fought the same fight that you are, that want the same equality, that have been oppressed, but aren't African American. So we have to find a way to break that. See, to me, and don't take this wrong, homie, don't take this wrong at all. I get where you're coming from.
Know.
But to say, like I said, I get the way you stated it, and it has meaning and it has depth to it. But I came from no different walk than you. I came from no different walk than your mother, your father, or your grandparents. See, I see equality. I think it should be, you know, there should be no equality for others unless there's equality for all. Don't you think that's a better statement?
That's a way better statement. I can get on board with that.
You know, America is under siege right now. You know, you've got politics controlling the anger, controlling the hate. But I want to ask you, How does it feel knowing that this is an aspect of your heritage, and yet there's white people, there's Chinese people, there's Russian people, there's every race out there that is speaking for your race, and not necessarily in the right way, you know? And to me, I sit back and I look at it, and it pisses me off. Because I don't think somebody has a right to speak for an oppressed man. I don't think somebody has a right to speak for a situation that they have no right to be a part of. Now, I understand people are going to come together and congregate and fight against the government when they feel an injustice that has been done to a certain community. But do you feel that that community should be put down because they're standing and fighting for you for the right cause?
No, not at all.
But what's occurring, correct?
Yeah.
Bro, I would bleed for you.
Set up.
Yeah, I would bleed for you, homie. If you needed a kidney, homie, and we were the same blood, I'd give you a kidney.
That's right. I got you. Likewise.
You know, that's what I want people to understand, why we did this show tonight and why we're talking about these types of things. But how does it make you feel seeing Nancy Pelosi put on a sacred garment in African-American history and utilize it for a photo op?
Oh my goodness! That lady is something else, man. Like, I don't pay close attention to politics; not my cup of tea. But I, you know, just some of the things I've seen on her just rub me the wrong way. I mean, that's definitely something that would rub me the wrong way. I don't know what she's trying to get out of that. I don't know if it's trying to be, you know, a positive thing, but. Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Well, a Ugandan warrior, a lady of Ugandan heritage, spoke up today about that issue. And she was highly upset. She felt it was a disrespect on her culture, and that Pelosi and those that took a knee did it for a photo op and didn't know the true meaning, the sacred value of what that scarf meant. And I have to agree with her, because there's certain things that we hold in our heritage, we hold close to our heart, that mean something to us, that hold value in who we are and where we come from. So for her and those other Democrats and far-left liberals to utilize an aspect to try to change an African-American's thoughts into thinking that they've got the betterment of their back, it's pathetic. It's fucking pathetic. You know, Jalen, you've got kids. Do you want your children to understand equality? Or do you want your children to live in the world we live now?
I want them to understand equality. You know, I feel like they're going to have to deal with the evils of this world regardless. And, you know, that hurts my heart. But I want them to seek the positive and seek the qualities of this world and focus on that instead of being consumed in all this negativity going on.
Yeah. Well said, brother. You know, the point I was getting at earlier, and I kind of want to just touch on it for a minute and then we'll move on. And the reason I said I would give you my kidney is because I would, because I'm colorblind in life. I think people should, but the true fact of the world is that if we were colorblind, people would just argue over different shades of gray. Am I correct?
Yeah,
they would. It is sad because, you know, I go back in this sport 23 years. Not once in this sport have I ever felt racial tension. Not once in this sport have I ever been made to feel that I was the lesser in the room. How has Jalen's Turner walk been in the sport? Because I want people to understand, because people think that all people of color are mistreated or, you know, oppressed or are talking down to. You work for the world's largest promotion. Have you ever been dealt with or disrespected in your walk in the UFC?
No. To be honest, my UFC walk has been great. But also, I let my manager do most of the talking. But
I get that.
MMA in, as a whole has always been good. It's always been positive. It hasn't been. It's never any racial tension, because any gym you go to, I guarantee you, is going to be a magnitude of different races in there. And, you know, you guys are all there to make each other better and to work. And, you know, over time, when you consider constantly seeing the same person over and over and training over and over, you know, you end up calling them your brother. That's your brother, not just your training partner. Oh, that's my brother, you know. And I feel like the whole world can get a lesson from the world of martial arts, you know. And look, and at the end of the day, if we have some tension in the gym, we can settle it right then and there. We put some gloves on and everything gets settled right there. You know, it's no, oh, I'm going to talk behind your back. No, if you have an issue, address it to me as a man, and we can settle it. And that's how it should be. And I feel like the world needs more of an outlet on that, because everybody's arguing over the pettiest thing because they don't have an outlet.
Now, let me ask you this, Jalen. And this is going to be a hard question for you to answer. The reason most say that they took to the streets was because the injustice of Shelfin being charged with third-degree murder and the others not being charged. When the charges were raised on Shelfin by Donald Trump he pushed for them to be raised, and they did, to second-degree murder, and subsequently three officers were charged. That is what people were fighting for. That's what people were enraged about. That's what led them to the streets. I honestly, in my heart, and you may not agree with me, but I honestly, in my heart, I felt at that point, when justice was given to Floyd, the riots should have ceased. You were fighting for a purpose. You reached that goal. You got what you wanted. The riots should have stopped, in my opinion. What are your thoughts, young man?
I agree with you. I think a lot of this all sort of calmed down, especially after, you know, the charges were made. But also, I feel like there's just been a lot of built-up tension behind it, and that's why it hasn't stopped yet. I also feel like, you know, a lot of people just wanting to start shit that are behind a lot of the riots. And also, I just feel like when you go out and you protest and you speak up, there's a lot of tension between protesters and cops. And then there's a lot of tension between people that have been, you know, down and out looking for an opportunity to get their hands on something. So that's how I see it. That's how I see all this going on.
Yeah. Let me paint a different picture, and then we'll kind of move on. I watched a reporter go to the Black Lives Matter side. She pulled a man about my age from the Black Lives Matter side, and she brought him over to the other side because it was a head-on-head protest. And she brought him over to the Trump side and the Republican side, as everybody wants to put labels on things. And the reporter asked the people in the crowd, would you be willing to stand with him? Would you be willing to sit with him and let him see how things work over here? And many people, everyone actually, on the other side said, yeah, and they hugged the brother. They treated him like a civil person. And then the reporter told him, now let's go back over to your side and let's see how I'm treated and let's see how they treat you for being with me. So they went back over to the Black Lives Matter side. They were screamed at. They had water bottles thrown at them. They had people yelling and spitting in their faces. And it even had that man sit back and say, wow, I can't believe this. You know, I can't believe that the side that I'm fighting for is now tearing me down simply because I'm standing here with you. You see what I'm saying, Jalen?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It's something that doesn't have to be. And I think what you said in the beginning of the show is the greatest thing and the greatest message that you can share with anybody. In order to fix a problem, you have to become part of the solution. And you're right. Being an NBA star, being a boxer or a UFC champ or football player, that's not what it's going to take. It's going to take all races to become part of the system to create that change that we seek. It truly is. Bro, when I see you, I don't see a black man. I see a man. What does Jalen Turner see when he looks at the world?
Right now I see a little bit of a messy canvas, but I still see plenty of room for a pretty picture to be painted. That's what I see at the moment.
Doesn't it sadden you, bro, that Antifa played a role and people like George Soros and the deep state and the liberals, they want to create hate and see demise. I'm not a Republican, so people, if you're listening and you think I'm a staunch Republican and a staunch Trump supporter, you're completely wrong. I'm in the middle. I'm a journalist. I tell both sides. You know, I just want people to get a greater understanding from me and from my brother, Jalen Turner, what we can be in life. We can't let the system manipulate us. We can't let it create us. We can't let it divide us. We're greater than the system. So to become a part of that system and to create the change that we seek is the only solution. It's the only answer. You know, for Antifa to come in and create certain aspects, for bricks to show up and rocks to show up and for people to be bussed in from other states, Jalen, how much do you think that diminished the value and the intent of the message the community was trying to portray?
I think it had a huge impact. I think it dwindled it greatly. And honestly, I had to Google what Antifa meant, because I never heard of it until this happened. The seeing all that stuff, you know, it was just mind-boggling. You know, it blew me away. It just put a bigger divide than it needed to. It didn't help anybody. It didn't help the cause. It just made it worse. It made the tensions worse. It made opportunities for people to break things. And I follow an older lady, and she said something about the 1992 riot, how the same thing occurred. And shortly after she had posted that, I had seen the video, somebody posted a video about random bricks being laid at one of the protests. And it blew my mind. I was like, wow, like that really just happened again? Like, that's crazy. You know, and on top of all the crazy protesters that are all upset and, you know, all the tension going on there, you know, and that's what the media wants to portray, all the chaos going on instead of the life. There's a protest out here in San Bernardino, and it was a really peaceful protest for hours. You know, everybody was marching, walking down the street, walking down the city, and, you know, it was fine. And, you know, as soon as the sun started going down, you know, all the riffraff came out and started looting the city. And, you know, that's what got the biggest reaction out of everybody, was seeing all that negativity happen. You know, everybody completely forgot about the positive protests that they had prior to all that. And, you know, that's what blows my mind about all this. You know, that's why I don't follow the news too much, because it's so negative. Like, negativity is what draws people's attention the most. That's what people like to hold on to. Or the violence, the chaos. That's what's really capturing people's attention. And that's what sucks. And people need to change that mindset and focus on the positivities in life.
Let me ask you this. Minneapolis has now defunded their police department. Minneapolis has pretty much did away with their police department. 45 officers took early retirement. Several other officers retired from the police force, walked away from the job. You know, many of the Black Lives Movement aspect are asking for the defunding of the police, for the abolishment of the police. As a young Black man, do you think that's the answer, Jalen?
No, I don't think that's the answer. I'm against that. You know, like I said, I have friends that are on the force, and, you know, if the police are gone, you know, police help. There's helpful people on the force. It's not all just a bunch of, you know, negative, bad people. Like I said, we got to look at individual cases, not everything as a whole. You know, defunding the police, I hope they have a open carry out there so people can protect themselves a little more. But I'm not on board with that. I've already spoken against that. I feel like police need more funding. I feel like they need more training. I feel like they need more tests to be evaluated if they can actually be a cop or not. You know, honestly, a big answer for officers is make better people officers, more noble people officers, put more noble people in power. That's what it's about. Get the assholes out, get the noble people, get the righteous people, get the people with some honor behind their names out there. Put some honor behind their actions and see how they do. I bet you it'll be a quicker change than defunding the police.
They're going to find out the hard way in Minneapolis, bro. They're going to find out the real hard way. You know, the thing that's... I did a live video the other day. I don't know if you've seen it. Because it bothered me. Because I know several bad cops, but I know a hell of a lot more tremendous individuals than I do bad. And I did a live, and I said, what are you going to do when There's drug dealers in front of your grandmother's house that she worked so hard her whole life to buy. And they decide they want to rob her, kill her, rape her. Who are you going to call?
They're probably going to have to call Ghostbusters at that point.
Exactly, bro. And I want people to understand, because I know there are people out there that say, well, that doesn't happen in my community. Bullshit. There's just as many white drug dealers and brown drug dealers and every color that deal drugs and think they're some G in the hood and they think they're somebody. It doesn't have to do with color. It has to do with mentality. And to abolish a system, people, I don't think you know what you're asking for. When you abolish a system, and this is being portrayed in 12 states, and they're democratic states, but the thing of it is, when you get rid of the police, the military is going to come in. And if you think living in a police state is bad, wait until you live until a military state. And then you're going to really know and understand, no matter what color you are, what oppression is. You know, Jalen, what I think has happened and made this situation so vast is the politicians played the race card in the very beginning of the election year. Then they tried the impeachment of Donald Trump because they didn't want him in there to begin with. That didn't work, so they portrayed the coronavirus. And then they used the race card again, and they perplexed the death of Floyd into something that it didn't really need to be. People, we need to justify our actions, not let the people in power speak for us. Because trust me, there's many more Jalen Turners out there that are just as young, just as bright, and just as articulate that don't see life the way that it's being portrayed on TV. You know, Jalen, I love you, homie. I always have.
Love you too, brother.
And the thing about it is that the topic we talked about on tonight's show, it isn't going to be solved overnight. And like you said earlier, it may take many years, but we have to start somewhere. And I think tonight's show kind of hopefully opened people's eyes to realize that, you know, life isn't always as it seems. We can always become what we choose to be. We have to break that cycle and to continue to grow and not use color as an excuse and not use color as a limitation. Because I'll tell you what, people always want to say, oh, the white people this, the white privilege. I could take you an hour and a half from where I live, well, an hour from where I live right now in 2020 and take you to a house where white people live. They still have a dirt floor. They don't have running water in the house and they still have to use an outhouse. There's oppression in every aspect and every walk in life. You know, we just have to find a unique way to break this system, break this cycle. And I always use this, and I think it's very profound. If Martin Luther King would have stood up and said, if I had a dream, he didn't. He said, I had a dream. If Rosa Parks would have said, I'm going to sit in the front of the bus today. Oh, you know what? I'll wait till tomorrow. But she didn't. But those people that say, I want to fight this fight, but I'll fight it tomorrow. You're just as much a part of the problem as the problem itself. Jalen, if you had to open up a journal, and write down the thoughts of what you learned as a young man in this time in history. What would that statement say, brother?
I say, love your people. Love those around you. Spread more love. Give more knowledge. Educate the ignorant. Open people's eyes. Because it's a blind world out here. And you want to shed some light. You want people to see how you feel, what's been going on in your life, and you want people to understand. And you have to understand not everybody's going to understand. But you got to do your best to make the change if you want change.
Let me ask you one more hard question, bro, and we'll kind of wrap things up. You know, halfway through the show, I've kept you on longer than I initially wanted to, but when you're, you know, you're breaking it down real, it kind of goes that way.
Yes,
but
sir.
Now I'm going to ask you, Gwen, and I'm going to put you in the hard, I'm going to put you in a hard spot, bro.
Yep.
When you look at that statement, like I brought up earlier, no lives matter until black lives matter. What are your thoughts on it now?
I think all lives matter. I think everybody's equal. I think that takes away a lot of attention on black lives. And I think people of other nationalities, races, have been through the same thing, can't get on board with that. And that's the issue with that statement. You know, it belittles everybody else's life. You're saying nobody else's life matters until your life matters. So now you're trying to play God. You're trying to play the almighty life. And that's not right. I'm not on board with that slogan. I don't see it fitting or helping any cause in this day and age. Like I said, it came up as a response, but I think it was the wrong way to be worded and the wrong way to be portrayed. So yeah, you know, like you said, you had a rough history, you grew up oppressed, you know the struggle. So am I gonna not bring you on board because you're not black? Of course not. Of course not. I feel like you'd be right there on my side, right there with me, you know, fighting the man if we have to together. And you're not black. So I'm not gonna single you out. Ever.
And that's what I love about you. That's why I chose to do this show with you. And you're the hope for the future, homie. You know, we need to educate people of all nationalities. We need to go out and speak. You have that opportunity. You're in the public eye. You're a public figure. You have that opportunity to create the change we all seek. You truly do, brother. You have to lead by example.
I can. Yes, sir.
Yeah, because the last 50 years, you know, you go back. Martin Luther King, Rodney King. Where has that solved anything for anybody? Has justice ever truly been served to any person or any nationality? No, we've taken to destroying our own communities, burning down our own businesses, creating job loss in our own lives. People, we can fight the cause, but we need to fight it as one. We need to look at the man across from us, whether he's white, Chinese, whatever, him as our equal. Don't see ourselves in front of him. Don't see ourselves behind him. see ourselves side by side with them. And if we have a disagreement, we can help educate each other. That's the solution. Jalen, you're a tremendous young man, bro. You know, you and I have always had this rapport since day one, and it goes back many years. I'm truly honored you came on the show and spoke about it. I'm sure we're both going to get hatred for the things we've said on tonight's show. But you know what? We have to be bigger than the hate. We can't let people correlate how we think or how we feel or the change that we seek. I have a 34-year-old son. You have a little daughter. We have to create a difference for them. We have to make a difference for all. Because you know what? In reality, nobody should look down on anybody unless you're helping them up. Because I don't know the walk that you walk, and you don't know the walk that I've walked. So therefore, we cannot judge no man, as we are not that man. With that being said, Jalen, I'm going to pass the mic to you. If there's any further statements you'd like to make before the show kind of wraps up, brother, the floor is yours.
I'd just like to point out a little situation that I have on Facebook. I caught one of my friends, a Facebook friend. I don't know him personally. He used the N-word out of context, you know, and I seen it. I didn't blow up. I didn't go after him. I didn't call him out of his name. And, you know, I just handled the situation like civilly. One of his friends ended up sending me a friend request, and he told me the way you handled that situation was really noble of you, and you just made a fan for life. And you know, that's been something that really like got to me, that really made like touched me, you know, because had I acted out, had I went the Malcolm X way and, you know, went the NWA way and just went all in on him, I wouldn't have that. I would have made myself look bad. I probably wouldn't have gained that fan. I probably wouldn't have gained that friend and that supporter. So, you know, you got to lead by example. You know, if you want to change, level heads prevail, and you got to do better. So that's what I've been trying to do. You know, I've been trying to handle things more professionally and, you know, keep a cool, calm, and collected head and assess situations before I start speaking or before I start acting. And, you know, just gaining that one person that understood where I was coming from made a big difference to me.
Amen. You know, and I want, my final statement for the show is, I want people to understand one thing. Okay, first of all, if you look up in the dictionary the word nigger, it means a stupid individual. So if you're out there using that word, you're a stupid individual. You know, that word applies to you, not the person that you're referencing. And, you know, I want to clear something up too, because a lot of, well, you already know this, Jalen, a lot of the sport community will hit me up on my page and they'll say, "What's up, my nigga?" And next thing I know, there's 30 people in my inbox. "Oh, how do you get that right? Where do you get that right?" And I'm like, really? First of all, I don't got an answer to you. And first of all, it's a respect thing. And they're not calling me nigger. They're calling me my nigga. You know, that's a thing we, a lot of people don't understand. When you grow up in the hood and you grow up and you gain respect, because you treat people with respect, you become a part of the culture. You become a part of the people. And I'm not entitled. I'm not privileged. I just see people for people. And if they choose to call me that and address me by that, that's respect. You know, it's pretty sad. And I'm going to bring up one more thing because it cracked me up. You know, and I'm a publicly blaster because I got to. There's this lady named Chris Palmer in my town of Springfield, Missouri, who's in a group called Pearl Nation. I've shot this woman in concert. I've shot many of her shows. I've been her friend for a long time. Now, I get it that she only likes African-American men. Hey, more power to you. You know, love who you love. Love who God meant for you to love. But the other day she did a post and she tried to say that there is no white man in the Bible. Well, first of all, on my mom's side, most of them are fathers in the Catholic Church. On my wife's side, most of them are pastors. So if you want to talk scripture and preach about scripture, you're dealing with the wrong brother. You're dealing with the wrong dude here. And so I addressed that issue, and I got called a racist. I got called everything under the sun, bro. And it's like, people, I've been called a homophobic. I've been called everything. But let me tell you something. I was one of the first radio shows in this country to let the first gay UFC fighter on my show. And I'm not bragging about it. I'm saying it because I want people to understand who I am and what I'm about. I've let several gay fighters on my show. I've never discriminated against bringing any fighter on my show because my show is the fighter show. Their voice is their voice, and I'm going to share their voice no matter what their walk. So to call me a racist, to call me a homophobic, to call me a xenophobe, and all the things that I've been called, you can't hurt me because you don't understand me. You hate me because you can't tear me down. And that's the same thing with Jalen Turner. He's a young man that understands creating change, becoming part of the system is what it's going to take to create a difference, not just for the black community, but for all communities. You know what? Everybody can take a page out of Jalen's life and learn something from it. You know, and I had to blast that lady because just because you love a brother, it don't make you black. And that's one thing that does make me mad is these white people that love men of color, but then they got to act like they're black. That don't play with me. Homie, I don't know what your stance is, but that don't play with me because you know what? You are who God intended you to be. And I can't judge you, but don't judge me because if you do, you ain't going to like what's on the other end of that stick. You know, brother, you're a blessing. You're a blessing in life. And you know what? Like I told you before, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and you've taught me new tricks in life. You taught me a better understanding of where you come from as a young man and your thoughts on what's portraying in this world today. And I appreciate that, and I'm honored by that. You know, I know it took a big step coming on the show and talking about this under these very hostile times in our world, because it just isn't in America, it's culturally worldwide. So I commend you on that, bro. I truly do. With that being said, I'm truly honored you came on the show tonight. Give your kids a hug and a kiss for me. But I'm going to hand the mic to you. And I know this wasn't a sports show, but if you have any sponsors, friends or family, or social media sites, or just any other things that you want to add to the program before we go, the floor is yours, homie.
I just want to say thank you for having me on. You know, it's always a pleasure and a blessing being able to talk to you, you know, and share some insight and, you know, just collab and just take each other's brains on topics. You know, it doesn't have to be fighter related. You know, I was happy to be here, happy to be on. But if you want to follow me on any social media, my Instagram is TheTarantulaMMA. My Twitter is Jalen Turner. My Facebook is also Jalen Turner. The only sponsor I got right now is Ball Wash, so shout out to Ball Wash. yeah, times been hard, but, you know, just trying to get good, trying to, you know, stay positive with everything. And, you know, I just hope society goes back to normal pretty soon. You know, we start pushing for a better change in life and better change for, you know, the next generation, the future. That's what it's all about.
Amen. You're the change for future generations, brother. You know, I thank you for coming on the show and having such an open mind. And see, people, we didn't agree on every topic on the show tonight. We can debate without hate. But what are we still walking away, Jalen?
We're still walking away, man. You already know. Yes, sir.
That's what I'm saying. You know, so people, take tonight's show to heart and take a greater understanding that we don't all have to agree on every situation, but we can do just like me and Jalen did tonight. We could talk about it and still walk away as one. Brother, I love you. God bless you. And thank you for coming on the show tonight, homie.
Love you too, brother. God bless.
All right, God bless. We'll talk to you. Hey, I'll get you on before your fight, bro. I know you're in training camp right now, but we'll get you on the sports side. But I just had to share who you are tonight, man. I hope you appreciate
it.
Thank
you. No, I
love you,
bro. Every single bit of it. Love you too, man.
Peace. Man, I love that guy. I really do. You know, we can all come together and share constructive criticism. We can all come together and put our agreements, our disagreements on the table and still walk away as one. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, with Juan Martinez, Cutman for Hire, with Jacob Stitch-Duran and Juan Ramirez, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice, The86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, One More Round with Stitch and Mark, and Blackout. You know, I'm still looking for some names, so if you have some names out there of some young deserving fighters that need sponsorship, inbox me, inbox the show, let me know, and we're going to give them a complete sponsorship. They don't have to be in California where the company's located. They can be worldwide. But send them names to me. Thank you for listening tonight, and God bless you all. And I tell you what, man. Tupac was one of the greatest individuals that I looked up to in the rap world. And I'm not going to try to stereotypical, you know, put a stereotype on tonight's show, but we talked about mothers, we talked about cultures, and I don't know, I love who he was and what he was about in this song. It's fitting to leave the show tonight because after tonight's show, I'm thinking a lot about my mom and abolishing the police and dismantling the police. It's not the answer. So have a good night and God bless.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show